Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you'd like to talk about, this is your best opportunity of the day. Give us a call, 844-322-2742. Plenty of open lines right now. That same number is good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I guess the things that brought about the Protestant Reformation, that's what we're talking about this month, justification by faith and by faith alone. There's no good works that we can bring to the table to earn God's righteousness, to earn a right standing before God. It's a gift. It's a gift of grace. In Romans 3, we see that God justifies freely by his grace. This is how he shows his favor towards you and me. So it's nothing that we can do to earn righteousness. It's simply a gift. We receive that. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, we read this powerful statement: God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So there was this exchange. Jesus took our sins away from us. God punished Jesus in our stead. And then Jesus gave to us his righteousness. So now we have the very righteousness of Christ. Now, I think this is a very important thing for us to understand about this exchange. Many of us are struggling. I know there's listeners out there today that are just wondering if Christ has forgiven all of their sins, or if it's just some of their sins that Christ has dealt with. Well, here's the reality. Christ would have never bestowed upon you his righteousness if there had been one sin left unpunished. If he just took some of your sins and dealt with them and left others for you to deal with yourself, he would have never declared you righteous in his sight. So this idea, this truth, this reality of justification, that God has justified us freely through faith in Jesus Christ, is proof positive that our sins have been dealt with once and for all, and that we stand before God as forgiven people. If one sin had been left unpunished, you would still be treated as a sinner. But now, because of the finished work of Christ, you're no longer a sinner. You've been justified. Now you stand before him as a saint, forgiven forever. That's good news, folks.
That is good news. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Calls beginning to come in. Still plenty of room for you. Plenty of lines open at 844-322-2742. As I said at the outset, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk to our friend Brad. Hi, Brad.
Hi, y'all. I am so very grateful, and I'm sure our listeners are also, with the simplicity that you all teach and show that the gospel is and what Jesus did is. And it really is simple when you look at exactly what Jesus did. And I was just thinking during your dialogue that just think about us being in union with Jesus. Number one, we could not be in union with Jesus if we still had a problem with sin. We couldn't be in his very fabric of his being if we hadn't been forgiven. And you can certainly understand when you read the truth about who we are in Christ, what God did for us in creating us new, coming and living in us, that would not even be approachable if we still had sin. So I'm so very grateful. I was looking in my software because I like to study along with you guys and see some of the other nuances. And I tell you what, I did a search in all my resources for the definition of justification. And I mean to tell you, when I got through glancing over three of the first resources that popped up, and my head was spinning. And I said, man, if somebody came in here to try to understand justification, quite frankly, they wouldn't be able to do it unless they had the grace of God. So I'm grateful that you guys keep it simple, and I'm grateful that it's simple for all of our listeners, and you guys leave no doubt with what's going on, with what you're discussing, and I sure appreciate it, and I thank you.
Well, thank you, Brad. Thanks for your kind words, your encouragement, and these truths are very simple because they're the work of Christ. We're simply the recipients. So when God declares us righteous, that's not because of anything we've done. We just receive that gift of grace through faith. That's how it happens. And so we stand before God as righteous in his sight. Boy, that is good news. And so the gospel just challenges us to believe that. If we think we have to bring something to the table, we're never going to stand firm in the righteousness that we have in Christ, and we're never going to grow in our understanding of God's love for us.
Yeah. Good to hear from Brad, as always.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Fairfax, Virginia, and talk with Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. I have a friend who's really struggling. He looks at his performance and the sins that he commits, and he concludes that there's no way Jesus can be living in him, because if Jesus was living in him, his performance would be better. What's the good news for someone like that?
Well, the good news is that Jesus's performance was outstanding. It was over the top good. And our standing before God is based on Jesus's performance and not ours. So for your friend, it's just a matter of switching focus. Instead of looking at the things that are going on inside of him, to look at Jesus and what he has accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. That's where we need to keep our focus, on Christ and on Christ alone. That's why the writer of Hebrews, Chris, said, you know, keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I mean, we have this flesh that we're housed in, and flesh still is trying to pull us away from our walk with Christ. We live in a world that is anti-Jesus. We have all kinds of temptations surrounding us, and our flesh responds to that. And oftentimes we think, well, if the flesh is responding, that must be who I am. And we forget that Jesus Christ is alive in us, and that he's giving us new desires. And as we learn to abide in Christ, we'll see those new desires being carried out through us. And we will not be fulfilling the desires of the flesh. So, you know, the more we try to think of kind of the results and the fruit and those sort of things that we should be bearing or that we should be doing, the more legalistic we become, the more rules and regulation oriented we become. As soon as we shift away from us and how we're doing back onto Christ, you know, a month or two down the road, we'll look and say, hey, you know, I haven't been struggling with that thing I was struggling with anymore. How did that happen? Well, that's just the result of keeping your eyes on Jesus. So keep your eyes on Jesus. That's the encouragement.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know firsthand how hard it is sometimes to take your eyes off of yourself, because our bad performance can be so, I guess, alluring. It consumes our attention sometimes. And hey, Richard, I wanted to ask you, on the last Friday edition, when you said that you made a vow to God or promise to God that you would stop cussing, and you gave like a description of how that played out, it didn't really work out so well for you. You might talk about this in a future episode, but could you give us like a small preview of like how did that end? Like what it, as it relates to justification, how did you bring that really crucial aspect of justification into your situation?
Well, God was gracious enough to allow me to stew in my own juices for a while. I wasn't coming to him. I wasn't asking him for the kind of help only he could give. I was saying to him, look, I'll do this. I'll take care of it. Just wait for me. I'll get there. So he waited. And other friends asked me interesting questions and pointed out interesting Bible verses. And slowly but surely, I quit focusing on my own behavior and started saying thank you for Jesus and what he had already accomplished for me.
Yeah, good stuff. Really important to learn to take your eyes off of yourself and put them on Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I really appreciate your input. Thank you very much, as always, for your ministry.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you. You know, the struggles that Chris's friend is going through, you know, that's exactly one of the things you talk about in Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. You know, everything that we try to achieve in the Christian life, so to speak, has already been given to us from God by grace in Jesus Christ. And we say that's basic gospel.
That is basic gospel. Yes. By grace, through faith, that's just how the Christian life works.
Yeah.
We've got to come to grips with the fact that we have nothing to offer God. We can make vows like you did. We can make promises. We can try to do better, but we're going to keep falling flat on our faces. And so we have to realize that's exactly why God sent Jesus, to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And to realize this new life that we've been called to live really is a life of faith. It's a life of simply trusting Jesus, the same Jesus that died to take away my sins, the same Jesus that was buried to put an end to that old way of life, the same Jesus that walked out of that tomb fully alive, that same Jesus who is now alive in us. Our life is simply to trust him, who he is, what he accomplished for us, what he's doing in us right now, right here. That's the Christian life. And boy, when we get a hold of that, things really start to change. And we really start to see Christ doing some incredible things in and through us.
Richard, talk to us a little bit about the importance of our listeners supporting the ministry. I mentioned Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and we have a very special offer for our listeners this month for a $20 or more gift. We'll send them Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, plus the study guide that accompanies it. I think it's a great offer.
Oh, it is. It is. And what you hear when we're talking to people on the phone, when we're answering email questions, that is the justification for donating. It's not about me. It's not about Bob. It's not about any of us. It's about taking Jesus to people who need to hear the good news of what he has accomplished. And we know we're reaching people because we get the calls and the emails. And when you are partnering with us, you are reaching those people too.
Yeah.
You should be thrilled that people are being reached, and you should be equally thrilled that you've got such a huge part to play in it. So we thank you in advance,
and
we can't wait to see what God's going to do through all of us.
It's a true partnership, and friends, all you need to do is click donate on any page at basicgospel.net, our regular website, basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator to make your contribution to keep the good news coming, 844-412-2742. That's a little bit different than our call-in number. This is the order line number that you can speak with our operator and make your contribution to the ministry, 844-412-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Rochester, New York, and talk with Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hi, friends. How are you this afternoon?
Doing well. Nice that you called. What's on your mind today?
I want to set the scene for what we go through in the fellowship that I attend to the Lord's table. And it goes against a lot of what you guys preach on regarding forgiven once and for all. But the verse that I hear our pastor reference regularly is Psalm 66:18, where it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." And then he goes into the instruction of take this time to examine yourself to see if there's sin in your heart that's keeping you from any separation of fellowship, not just with not necessarily with God, but with other brethren within the church. And I just want to get your when I cross-reference that with 2 Timothy 3:16, it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and teaching, and so on. What would be the purpose of the verse in 60 in Psalms? What's the point of that verse? I guess I'm trying to ask you to read the mind of my pastor for bringing that verse up in that setting.
Well, I don't know what he would be thinking in that, other than the fact that he wants the congregants to examine themselves and to confess their sins, and he feels that that's the appropriate response as far as the Lord's Supper is concerned. It's interesting, you know, you have to really put this verse in context. David says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would have not listened to me. But God surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. I mean, so David is just recognizing, if I had come to God asking him to bless my sinful activities, asking him to condone my, you know, my sinful choices and the things that I was choosing to do that was going to bring harm into other people's lives, God isn't going to pay attention to that kind of prayer. When somebody is cherishing that sinful lifestyle and wanting God to bless it, they're basically coming to God in a negotiation. You know, God, I appreciate who you are and all of this wonderful stuff, and I hope you appreciate who I am and what I want to do and what I want to be all about. And if you could, if you would be ever so kind to condone my way of life. I know it's a sinful way of life. I know it goes against what you have clearly stated in your word, but would you be ever so kind to bless my sinful way of life? And he's saying, I didn't do that. Yeah. I came, you know, empty-handed, asking and pleading God for mercy. And because I recognized truth and I brought truth to the table, God listened and heard my voice in prayer. And are there people like that today who are going to God and trying to engage him in a negotiation? Absolutely. They just want God to bless their lives so they can feel a little bit better about their sinful lifestyle. But that's not how God operates. God sent Jesus. Jesus is his gift to mankind. And when you come to him, you come to him empty-handed saying, man, my old way of life was empty. There was nothing there. And so I come just to receive Jesus, the gift that you have provided. And I want him, and I want him alone. So I think that's, we really have to kind of dig a little bit and, you know, open up the hood and dive in and see what David is really saying, if he had cherished sin in his heart. But he didn't. God surely listened to him and heard his voice in prayer. And so when we can go to God with that same confidence.
Can I ask, I wanted to just a follow-up question regarding examine yourself. I've been saved many, many years, and I'm never quite sure what am I supposed to be doing when I'm told, when it's suggested to examine yourself. If our sins have been forgiven, what are we being asked to do there?
Well, I think in most situations, the pastor is asking you to list out the sins that you've committed, to confess those, and ask God to forgive you. I think that's probably the bulk of what he's asking you to do.
And you would suggest that that's not something that we should do. Is that, I'm not trying to be argumentative or debate. I'm just asking for your opinion on that.
Well, I think when we go to the Lord's Supper, and that's the context of this question, when we go to the Lord's Supper, it's the Lord's Supper that we're participating in. And we're to do this in remembrance of him. So he died to take away our sins once and for all. In that death, in that shed blood, he ushered in a brand new covenant. And within this new covenant, we have this promise that God remembers our sins no more, and where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. So if we're going to remember the Lord's death, we have to remember the results of the Lord's death for you and me. So it should become a moment of rejoicing, a moment of great joy and celebration together with the body of Christ. It's also a remembrance that because of the work of Christ, we're now a member, a part of the body of Christ. And so we belong to Christ and we belong to each other. So that's how we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Now, if we're thinking that my confession and my asking is going to bring about more forgiveness from God, I think we've just missed the purpose of the Lord's Supper. His shed blood brought forgiveness to us once and for all. And if we're in Christ, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It's not something that we get. It's something that we already have. So the examination, if you really want to know what the Scripture says about the examination, it's simply this. Examine yourself to see if you're in Christ or not. That's exactly right. And that's exactly what Paul wrote at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And it says, examine yourselves. This is verse 5 of chapter 13. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. So I think that might be an appropriate thing at a Lord's Supper celebration. Here's the good news about Jesus. He died. He was buried. He was raised back to life. Those who come to him by faith are placed into Christ. Now examine yourself. Have you actually received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If not, would you let today be the day? You've heard the message. Do not harden your heart. Receive the Lord, and in doing so, allow him to add you to this great body so that you can really participate in the celebration of this new covenant that we all are bound to and bound one another through, the fact that God remembers our sins no more.
Okay, I want to just make sure I get this. I don't want to hang up and then think, I wish I had gotten a clear answer. This isn't a time then for confessing of sin.
It's a time of confessing the blood of Jesus.
Okay.
It's a time to confess what he's accomplished.
Yeah, remember, the word confess only means we agree with God. So we agree with God that Jesus died for our sins. We agree with God that he rose to give us eternal life. We agree with God that we are forgiven people. And we agree with God when we blow it. And then we thank him for being forgiven people. It's always focused on Jesus, never on us.
You know, you guys, I just want to give this testimony. I could be in a church, a God-fearing, Bible-believing church for 25 years and be in the dark because I don't understand a particular passion, and what you guys have just done is just turn the light on. I really appreciate your thoroughness in explaining that and your patience with giving me the opportunity to ask the question kind of repeatedly, but I'm thankful for your time and giving that to me today. I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome, Matt. Yeah, thanks for your call.
Nice
and it's a very important question. Mm-hmm. It's one worth examining and really digging deep into to find some good, solid answers, because there's a lot of people, Matt, that are asking the same thing, I guarantee you. They're going to the Lord's Supper once a quarter, once a week, once a year, and they're not understanding what they're there for. And they walk away feeling guilty. They walk away feeling shameful. Yeah. They walk away without a sense of hope that I'm just this dirty, wretched guy, instead of rejoicing in what Jesus Christ has accomplished. And this Lord's Supper truly is a celebration of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and the fact that we can stand before him as righteous, clean, forgiven people once and for all.
Okay. I've got another question, but I'll wait until next week. I appreciate it.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
We'll look forward to hearing from you then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bye now.
Well, some good calls on the broadcast today, and we appreciate hearing from our listeners. And as we get ready to close the broadcast, again, I'll remind you that with your gift of $20 or more this month, you're going to receive Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and its companion study guide. Just click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. Or donate by phone by speaking with our operator, Billy, at 844-412-2742. Again, that number, 844-412-2742. And if you have never visited the Holy Land, we have a wonderful, wonderful trip coming up in February of 2017. We hope you'll go online to basicgospel.net, click the events tab. All the information is there. We're going to visit the places that you've read about in the scriptures all of your life. It's just a fantastic opportunity to go and experience something just that would be so real, you just almost can't believe it. So go to basicgospel.net. Again, click events, and all the information on the Israel tour is right there. We're out of time. We look forward to being back with you again for a teaching edition tomorrow with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.